Today is Mother's Day, and so happy Mother's Day to all the moms, to all the grandmas, to all the mother-in-laws, the aunties, the spiritual mom-like figures in our lives. This is a special day, and I also know that there are many for whom this is not such a special day, and it can actually be a very hard day to come to church or even just turn on the TV and watch online. So if you're here today or you're watching wherever you are, we just want to, and if this is a hard day for you, we just want to honor you for making the commitment to be here today. What a blessing that is. Today I want to talk about the very fine line between a dangerous gamble and a genius plan. You know, in extremely rare instances in our lives, like maybe once or twice or possibly three times, a situation might arise where our back is up against a wall and we have to make a very difficult decision. You know, we often see this with like crazy stock market investment stories. You hear these stories of a person or a company who at an opportune moment, they invested all in with something. And if they got it right, they reaped the benefit. Now, I do have to say though, that for every story like that, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands upon thousands, that ended the other way that we never hear about. So to the two or three of you watching or here in the church who are thinking that this is confirmation for you to go all in on Dogecoin today, let me just tell you, that's probably not what God is saying, okay? Please don't go put your life savings somewhere and say, Pastor Kyle told me to go all in. No, I did not. That is not what I said. Pastor Kyle said there are super uber rare instances in which these things can happen. Lisa and I both, if you know us, we lean very heavily on the patient plan for long-term success side of life spectrum. We both don't like super risky choices. It is not who we are. And our belief is that in life, the turtle always tends to win the race, slow and steady. And so we're big believers in hard work over years and years to get the results that a person is seeking. But there was a time in 2009 when Lisa and I planted a church. And I, at the time, left a decently paying job to do it right after we had bought a house. Now, anything can happen, but so far, it looked like that turned out to be a good choice. and so we have taken at least one big calculated risk that wound up working out. And since it all worked out, I can say, wow, that was a great plan. And if it hadn't, I'd probably say it was all Lisa's idea in the first place. No, I'm kidding, of course. We both know that this is God's church, that it was his idea, that it was his dream, that it was his plan, and that his thoughts are always higher than our thoughts and better than anything that we could imagine. So if you're wondering how this ties in to where we're going to be going today in the message on Mother's Day, let me say this since it is Mother's Day. There is one place that no sane parent would ever dare to gamble, and that is on their child's life. And when it comes to our kids, you know that phrase, mama bear and papa bear? Mm-hmm, kicks right on in. And we are all instinctively protective of our children. And yet today we're going to come to a story in the Bible where a significant mom in the Bible appeared to place her son's life in danger. And depending upon how you read the story, what she did was either a very dangerous gamble with her child's life or a genius plan to save him. I'm talking today about Jochebed, Moses' mom. And so my message title today is Jochebed, the best mom ever, at least up until Mary in the time of Jesus and my wife, but we'll go from there. and if you would open a Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 2, and I realize that any of you who are trekking with us in the Exodus series realize, oh my goodness, Pastor Kyle's going back to Exodus 2. Does this mean we're going to do the whole thing all over again? No, it does not, okay? And yes, I know that Pastor Obi talked on this passage in November, specifically during the Exodus series. I just felt like this passage was so relevant on Mother's Day to talk about this heroic mom of the Bible. We're almost done with Exodus, but before we wrap it up, it just felt like the right place to spend Mother's Day today to talk about Jochebed, Moses' mom. And so we're going to pray together, and then we're going to read Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. Would you bow your head or your heart with me wherever you are today? Lord, we thank you so much that you are our God. And God, we thank you that you use mothers in our lives to shape us into who we're supposed to be. God, you saw fit that that's how the world was supposed to come about, and we praise you for that. We praise you for families, men and women, that will stand together and stand with you to develop children who love you with all their heart. And so God, today we pray that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see. We pray that you would open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. And we pray, Lord, that as we study your word, that you'd open our hearts, that we'd respond and become the disciples that Jesus wants us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Exodus 2:1-10 says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, 'I drew him out of the water.'" And so here, the first part, we see the story. We see this dangerous gamble, or was it a genius plan? Well, we know from other places in Scripture, it's not mentioned here, that Jochebed was Moses' mom's name. And you may remember that there had been that horrible edict to kill all of the baby boys in Egypt. And that little detail is really important to understand the story as to why she made this choice, because Jochebed's son's life was literally in danger from the moment that he was born. You know, one of the benefits of itty-bitty babies is that they're portable, right? And they're small. And so you can tuck them in a wrap in your shirt, and it can just look like you had a few too many burritos the night before when they're itty bitty ones. And so Moses' mom hid that baby as long as she possibly could. But there comes a moment in any and every child's life where you just can't hide them anymore. And you know, another thing to think about is that ancient houses didn't have glass windows like we have them today. Now, they had forms of window coverings, we know that, but nothing like what you and I enjoy in our homes. And practically, that meant that you could hear just about everything happening inside the house on the outside on the street all the time. And every parent knows that there is no hiding the sound of a crying baby. It is what it is, and once it starts, you just gotta find a way to soothe them. And plus, once babies get mobile, they don't want to be confined anymore. And so Moses' mom made this calculated decision that she needed to come up with a plan to save her child's life. And so she hatches up this crazy plan to build a floating little boat and strategically place it not too far down the river from where Pharaoh's daughter would bathe. And you know, the Bible doesn't say this, but I believe that this whole plan was 100% crafted and intentional. And I bet she even did little practice runs of the whole thing when nobody else was around in the middle of the night to kind of catch the currents or find that right place in the reeds to set the basket. And so sure enough, the little Moses ark floated right down the river to Pharaoh's daughter. It was a bullseye. She nailed it. And so Moses' sister, likely Miriam, watched this whole thing, and she followed it down the river. She watched where it landed. And when Pharaoh's daughter realized that it was one of the Hebrew babies, her own maternal instinct kicked in, and she couldn't let him suffer. And so instead, she took the child in, and Moses' sister was like, "Hey, you know, do you want me to go get one of those Hebrew nurses to take care of him for you?" And then in the words of Grant from the original Jurassic Park, I'm going to nerd out for you in just for just a moment here. Like when he talked to the Velociraptors, he said, "Clever girl," right? How many of you got caught the reference there? Forgive me. Okay, nobody. Okay, a few people are admitting their nerddom. Thank you. clever girl. She said the right thing. And so then Pharaoh's daughter even made sure that Moses' mom got paid to take care of her own baby. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And how many of you moms would love if you got paid to take care of your own kids, right? Some of you altruistic ones are like, I just continue to want to do it for free, even if I was being paid. Okay, you're amazing. Better person than I am. So this whole story, though, isn't just about Moses or Moses's mom. This is a story about how God supernaturally protected the nation of Israel's deliverer. And what happened here is it would seem like the salvation of their people was just literally floating in a basket, hanging by a thread, helpless in the Nile River. But all along, God had a bigger plan. And so we see there really is a fine line between a dangerous gamble and a genius plan. And Jochebed's plan worked out, and she will unquestionably go down in history as one of the best moms ever because of it. Now, one more clarification that I want to put out there. I believe with all my heart that if there were another option that Moses's mom had in this situation, I think she would have opted for it. The fact is that if she didn't go through with this plan, her son would have been killed anyways. That was just the harsh reality. And so it is 100% true that she was risking her child's life, placing him in this little basket or this little boat. But the cold, hard facts were that Moses' life was at risk, growing every single day anyway. So the question is, what does this story about Moses' mom and Moses have to do with us today? Well, I want to talk about three things that made Jochebed just such an epic mom, and three things that I think will help you make you a better you. And the first thing that made Jochebed the best mom ever is that she was willing to do whatever it took to protect her child, and she refused to take no for an answer. And so that takes me to the first application for us. Be willing to do whatever it takes to lead your family and refuse to take no for an answer. You know what the law said? The Egyptian law said, no, you can't raise that baby boy. He needs to be thrown into the river. In other words, no, you can't have him. No, you can't raise him. And Jochebed said, yes, I can. And yes, I will. And I'm going to get paid for it. And so she hid him as long as she possibly could, and then she found a way to ensure his safety. And the only way for Moses to be truly safe, not just in that moment, but for the rest of his life, was for him to actually be raised in the halls of Egyptian power and in the palace, and she pulled it off. She was willing to do whatever it took, and she refused to take no for an answer. You know, this past year, you moms have had to relearn that phrase, being willing to do whatever it takes, haven't you? I've seen amazing pictures and videos on the internet of moms and dads too, by the way, working from home, teaching kids, making dinner, trying their best to cope with everything and managing so much stress at the same time. And to a degree, you know, we've all been robbed of having healthy separation between home and work and healthy separation from your kids during the day when they go to school and having healthy outlets to decompress just to kind of let everything go. You know, moms are overworked. They're underpaid and underappreciated. And I would imagine that many moms in here today or watching this might feel like you're just barely hanging on. I want you to give yourself some grace. You're not failing. While we watch that video, you're doing a great job. You're a Jochebed. You're willing to do whatever it takes to protect your child. And so this takes me to the second thing that made Jochebed one of the best moms ever. She was a careful planner, and careful planners always have a fallback plan. And so for us, here's the application. Plan carefully and always have fallback plans, especially if you're taking a big risk. Jochebed planned this whole thing out, and you know, this was unique in the sense that this probably was her fallback plan. It was a Hail Mary of sorts, but she had to weigh all the options that she had to protect her son's life, and this was the option that she chose. But the overwhelming majority of scripture speaks to the need for wisdom in our plans. And a huge part of wisdom is to have a fallback plan in life, especially if we're taking a big risk. And Jochebed was a wise mom. And if there were another option, I'm sure she would have put that in place as well. So plan carefully and always have fallback plans, especially if you're taking a big risk. You know, when Lisa and I planted City Church, we had a fallback plan. In fact, we had two of them. Backup plan number one, if the church didn't work out, out was just I would do my best to find another job in the area. Not that big a deal. It would have been okay. Backup plan number two, if things really, really didn't work out and I couldn't find a job in the area, was that we would rent out the condo that we had and we would move back in with her parents. They don't know this. Sorry, Marsha, you're just finding this out. But that was on our backup plan. And so we're like, hey, worst case scenario, I know where they live. We'll just show up one day. Hey, we're here, you know? And so... You know, listen, no adult wants to move back in with their parents, right? I mean, don't say amen if you're living with them right now, but it's just a reality. And we have to sometimes be humble enough to say, you know what? I need this. This is where I'm at in life, and it's okay. And so we were okay knowing that if that was what we had to do, we were going to be all right to get ourselves back on our feet and get through it. Now, thankfully, no backup plan was necessary. God blessed the church, but we still had backup plans in place. And even today, you know, for little things that we're doing all the time, we always have a backup plan. You know, another thing that made Jochebed one of the best moms ever is that she was willing to put her hands to work, to get them dirty, and she saw the value in simple things like raising her child every single day. And this takes me to the third application. If you want to be a better you, and here it is, do not despise small beginnings or the hard work that goes along with them. And to kind of talk about this a little bit more, I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Zechariah chapter 4. And one of the more well-known verses in this chapter is verse 6. And I'll just read it to you because some of you might recognize it. It says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." How many of you are familiar with that verse? It's an awesome verse that describes how God works through ordinary people. But what's often forgotten is the context and the situation that was happening in that verse, and it's relevant to what I'm talking about today. And so to describe just a little bit for you what was going on in that story, the temple had been destroyed, and Zerubbabel, the king, had been tasked with rebuilding it by God. And so after years of trying to just move the rocks out of the way and get the rubble out of the way, they were finally able to create what's called a plumb line, which is a flush level line. And so that meant they finally got enough junk out of the way to level the ground so that they could build on top. Because every builder knows until the foundation is level, anything you put on top is going to be unstable. And so literally all that had happened at this point in Zechariah 4, and the part that I'm going to read in just a minute, was that they had leveled the ground for the foundation, preparing for the rest to happen. And so the prophet Zechariah was encouraging King Zerubbabel that he would finish this project. And now I want to read to you verses 9 and 10. This is Zechariah's encouragement to Zerubbabel. It says, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." And so again, that plumb line just meant that it was a level foundation. That was it. And that the rest of the temple was now ready to be built upon. And so the encouragement in verse 10 that Zechariah gives to Zerubbabel is he says, "Zerubbabel, don't despise the days of small beginnings." He's saying, "Zerubbabel, all you're looking at right now is a pile of dirt that looks level. But one day, God's going to turn it into something bigger. He's going to rebuild the temple." Now imagine if you were Zerubbabel and you had just been staring at a pile of rocks for what would have been close to 20 years at this point. And you were told that you were going to be the one that's rebuilt the temple. And all that you had accomplished was getting the junk out of the way. It wouldn't feel like you were seeing the hand of God tangibly move, but Zechariah was looking at him and he's saying, "Zerubbabel, don't despise the small beginning and where you are right now. Your hand is going to finish this project that you're starting right now." And I got to tell you, God uses seasons of small beginnings to shape us into what he's preparing us for. And these years for Jochebed were lengthy and they were difficult, but God used them to shape Moses's life. And in Exodus 2:10, we see the end of that passage that we just read. And then in Exodus 2:11, we see that Moses is this fully grown man, ready to step into his calling as the deliverer of the people of Israel. But what's missing in between Exodus 2:10 and 2:11 were all of those years where his mom just loved on him and cared for him and made sure that he had everything he needed so that he could become the man that God wanted him to be. And what we're missing in between those two verses were all the messes that Jochebed cleaned up after Moses. What's missing in between Exodus 2:10 and Exodus 2:11 were all the times where Jochebed was there for him when he cried. What's missing were all those years that Jochebed struggled to put him to bed and didn't get to sleep herself. What's missing were all those years that Jochebed played with Moses. What's missing were all those years that Jochebed listened to her son. What's missing were all the years that Jochebed cheered him on at Israeli soccer tournaments. What's missing were all the times that Jochebed heard about Moses' dream to one day save the people of Israel. What's missing in between those two verses were all those years of small beginnings before the great man Moses, who would become one of the greatest leaders in history. You know, Jochebed did not despise those days of small beginnings with her son. And he would then go on to be, I believe, one of history's greatest leaders before Jesus. And you know, wherever you're at today, do not despise the days of small beginnings or the hard work that goes along with them. You know, for parents who are here, who are in that zone of life, number one, Lisa, and I feel you. For every toddler tantrum that ends worse than it started, don't despise the small beginnings that are being crafted by God. For every teenager moment that you don't know how to deal with, don't despise the small beginnings that are being crafted by the Lord. For those of you who are students right now and you're grinding in school, don't despise the days of small beginnings. God is using every page you read and every paper you write to shape you into the man or woman that he wants you to be. For those of you who are working in a job right now and you feel like there isn't any meaning to it, don't despise the small beginnings of a hard day's work on a simple project with a simple smile to somebody going through their day, dealing with an irritated coworker. Don't despise the small beginnings with a client of going that extra mile with them when you didn't have to. Man, it all matters to God. For every sale that you don't close, don't despise the small beginnings as you are being crafted into the person that God wants you to be, as you learn more about yourself and what might work better the next time around. For everyone who wakes up at 0:30 to read their Bible, don't despise the small beginnings that can be that can happen in your day. For everyone who's committed to a health and fitness journey, don't despise the small beginnings that God is putting in your life to recreate your body literally from the inside out. For every cookie that you choose not to eat, don't despise the days of small beginnings. For every Sunday that you show up in church, don't despise the days of small beginnings. For every Sunday that you decide to serve in church and less people attend the event that you're participating in than you would wish, don't despise the days of small beginnings. Don't overlook those who are here with you now, who are in the church with you today and who want to be in your life. For every doctor visit, when you go to the doctor to figure out what your problem is and they can't figure it out, don't despise the small beginnings of God's journey to heal you and make you a better you. You know, in this life, all of us are really just stewards of the things that are in our hands. We hold on to them for a short time, and then we send them down the river of life. And as I think about this story of Jochebed, literally the hopes and dreams of the Israeli nation were right there. And I imagine that moment where she's holding her son, and she's got to put him down. It's going to be okay, buddy. I don't know how. I'm not sure what the future holds, but I know God's good. And I love you so much. And she puts him in that basket. And she steps back. You know, every one of us in life has something we need to lay in the basket sometimes. And say, God, this isn't mine. Nothing here belongs to me. And so I just want to ask you the question today. What has God put in your hands that maybe you need to put in the basket? And maybe you're not ready to put him in the basket. Maybe it's not time, but maybe it's just living with that mindset today that, hey, you're not mine. This job's not mine. This house isn't mine. This church isn't mine. This child's not mine. We're all just stewards of the things that God entrusts to us. And then one day there comes a point in our lives where we put it in our basket, in the basket beneath, and we surrender it to the Lord and we watch him turn it into what he wants it to be. You know, here's what I know. Jochebed did not despise those days of small beginnings. In fact, she was willing to do whatever it took to ensure that he could become the man that God wanted him to be. And you know, the same thing's true in our lives. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. God will rebuild your marriage. God will rebuild your business. God will rebuild this church as the world recovers from COVID. God will rebuild the world as it recovers from COVID. God will rebuild you into the man or the woman that he wants you to be so that you can be the best that you can be for him. In Jesus' name, we pray. Father God, we thank you for those who have gone before us and our parents who raised us, loved on us, just invested time and so much money and effort. And then they laid us in that basket, metaphorically speaking, and gave us to the Lord. And we became the men and women that we were supposed to be. And so today, God, if there's something that we need to lay in the basket and surrender it to you and watch you work, God, help us to lay it down. And in the meantime, when you've given us these children, these jobs, these things to participate in, help us to live our lives with the mindset that we're stewards, they belong to you, and we're here for a short time. Your word says that we're here for a little time, and then we're gone, we vanish. And so, Lord, may we live every day with the mindset that this is not our home, we belong in eternity. And if you're here today, and you were to walk out the doors of this church or turn off the screen, and you genuinely don't know if you'd go to heaven. I believe with all my heart that God brought you here today to settle the question once and for all of whether or not you'd spend eternity with Jesus. You know, it isn't mystical, it isn't magical. God's going to hear the faith as you pray, but I want to tell you, if that's you, God promises to forgive you of your sin, to adopt you into his family, to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and to give you an eternal life. There's only one catch. Jesus wants the steering wheel of your heart. And so if you're ready to step over the line and call yourself a Christian, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and the sins of the world. I believe you died there, and I believe you rose from the grave so I could have everlasting life. Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, fill me with your Spirit, and give me the power to live this life for you. God, take over. Here's the steering wheel of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.